Hey there, everyone. You're listening to badmovies.org radio again, and this is Andrew. This week I want to talk about the Marine Corps Toys for Tots program because I have finally recovered enough to discuss it without running screaming at the sight of Candyland. You all know I'm a Marine, right? If you ever hear some weird tinkling in the background when I'm doing the podcasts, that's my dog tags. I try to keep them out of the way, though. I'm guessing you probably at least know the basis for the Marine Corps Toys for Tots program. Well, every year, units pick two Marines, and they assign them as the primary personnel for that program. I just happened to be one of the lucky ones this year. For 2 months, pretty much all I did was eat, drink, smell, breathe, and live toys. And I'm an adult male, so that's a little painful at times, especially when I'm looking at a stack of Candyland that's taller than me. After the toy drive got over and I reacquainted myself with my family, one of the things my daughter asked me to do was play Candyland with her. I looked at my wife, and I shook my head. It was one of those moments when inside I was just saying, no. We actually had a pretty bad shortage of toys this year. Now, that happens every year, but at the very end, we put in some more hours, we get some more events in, we reach out to the media, and usually we get enough toys in. This year, it didn't happen. For a good example, last year, I think we collected about 65,000 toys in this area. This year, collected in this area was more like 50,000, maybe even only 45,000. So it was a big difference. We end up working with a lot of other programs, such as county social services, assisted housing, churches, and groups like that. And this year, I'm calling up these groups or talking to them on the phone. I'm telling them, we're not getting the toys in. Either I'm not going to be able to give you any toys at all, because I'm thousands, tens of thousands short from where we should be at, or else what I was giving them was dramatically reduced. Most of them understood. You know, they understand that this year the economy's a little bit tighter, and maybe this year 10,000 people that gave two toys each last year didn't give any toys, so there goes 20,000 toys. And that's why we were short. But I had one church, and the lady I was dealing with was just militant. She was angry with me, and she ended up going to the news stations and telling them that we weren't going to give them any toys, which, if I didn't have any, yes, that's true. Here's the funny thing, and I did not see the news report. My wife is the one who caught it. The local police brought toys to the church and bailed them out. Apparently, the news station spun it as the huge Marine Corps Toys for Tots drive wouldn't help this church. But this is what's hilarious. Guess where the police probably got the toys? From us. Because several of the police organizations do outreach programs, and they get toys from us for those, so I'm not certain they came from me and eventually got to the church, but it's pretty likely they came from us and got to the church. An interesting thing about doing Toys for Tots is getting to see all the different kinds of toys, and some of them are pretty neat, but I really wish people wouldn't give us Bratz dolls, because I stare at these things, and I'm looking at this package, I'm going, okay, I'm going to give this to an 8-year-old girl, and it's a doll wearing fishnet stockings with high heels, a mini skirt, a bare midriff, and some sort of lace top. And I'm going to give this to an 8-year-old girl. If my daughter ever asks me for a Bratz doll, I can see the conversation now. Dad, I want the Bratz doll. No, you're getting Legos. But I want Legos, okay? Good, you can make a doll out of Legos. People also have an interesting idea of what kids want to play with. Like this year we got a box of Kraft macaroni and cheese, which I guess if I gave them some Elmer's glue and cardboard, they could glue it onto it, but not really a toy. We also got a whole bag of fuzzy boas, just in case we need to have kids reenacting the Rocky Horror Picture Show. We always get a lot of stuffed animals, and I wish we wouldn't. One, because it's hard to make sure they're brand new and hygienic. Two, because they get dirty anyway coming to us. This year, one of our biggest donations came from the Traffic Enforcement Police and Road Construction Crews. They stood on the side of 95 and 695 and collected toys from passing motorists. And when they brought them to us, they came in these big dump trucks. Which was awesome, except it had been snowing out and there's all this slush and everything on the roads. So some of the toys got salt and road slush on them. That's not a big problem when it's in a package. But when it's a stuffed animal, it gets all over it and we really can't get it clean. One of the stuffed animals that came in encrusted with salt and road dirt was the purple Christmas ape, and this thing was hideous. Whenever you got near it or touched it, it would start screaming at you, and it would scream at you these various things, I guess, were supposed to be full of holiday cheer. Like, the one I remember the best was, "I'm just crazy about Christmas!" And it would shake. This thing was my personal demon, and the Marines thought it was hilarious. So the one day I come in, and they've strapped it with duct tape, spread eagle, so it actually looks crucified, to the rolling door of the warehouse. So whenever I have to go up to that door and open it, this ape would start screaming at me as it shot 20 feet into the air, crucified above my head. So there it is, 20 feet in the air, above the head of a Marine who hates it, declaring its undying love of Santa and all things Christmas. Eventually, I'd have to close the door, and then this screaming ape would descend from on high until he was at eye level with me, screaming at me the whole time, and I would pick up this bent, used wiffle ball bat that somebody had thought it was funny to donate, and I'd beat him with it. And the whole time in the background, the Marines are laughing. When you get down to it, this is actually rather macabre. I felt a bit of relief that the purple Christmas ape finally escaped his suffering when I found him dismembered on my desk one morning. We had some extra help from Marines that were awaiting training as combat correspondents, because their staff NCO, I think it was a master sergeant, sent them to work with us, since he didn't have anything else for them to do. And they were a big help, but one of them had me really worried. We were getting ready to eat lunch one day, and she's complaining how her stomach aches and everything. And I'm staring at her, I'm like, "Have you had anything attached to your face lately?" And she looks at me, "No, Staff Sergeant." "Alright, because here's the deal. I don't want to feed you, and then have you explode or rip open, and some alien xenomorph pop out, and get loose here in the warehouse. Which means I'd have to go hunt it down, between all the boxes of toys and in the dark rooms that we never use in the back, with the only weapon I have, a bent used wiffle ball bat. And when I finally do find it, it's going to be 8 feet tall and with claws and teeth and acid blood, and I will have a wiffle ball bat. I mean, I suppose I could go rip the handlebars off of a bicycle and use that against it, but still, none of this sounds any fun. I am constantly worried that life is some sort of science fiction horror film, and I'm the guy that gets eaten at the 70-minute mark. Needless to say, come 65 minutes, I'm beating on the inside of the TV, begging you to turn it off. Well, everyone, that's it for tonight. Thanks for listening to BadMovies.org Radio. I'll see you next time.